This is Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein. Connecting fish, rivers, and people. That's what World Fish Migration Day is all about, and that's this Saturday. It's the fifth annual event, and the Southeast Alaska Fish Habitat Partnership is hosting a number of activities to raise awareness about efforts to save and protect migratory fish. So joining us now via Zoom, Debbie Hart is the coordinator for the Southeast Alaska Fish Habitat Partnership, and Crystal Briette is a graphics information system and communication specialist with the Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition. Thanks to both of you for joining us via Skype. Hi, Deborah.
Good
How are
afternoon.
You?
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Andy. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining, Crystal.
And Crystal, I see that. Hi, Crystal. I just saw you were on mute there for a second, but thanks for joining us as well.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Excited to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit about the partnership, about the actual the Southeast Alaska Fish Habitat Ooh. Partnership.
Well, first, Andy, I have to give you our acronym. We're SEAC-FIP.
SEAC-FIP.
Yeah, I love it. Everybody, and you know, we're an alphabet soup here across Southeast Alaska. All these amazing collaboratives doing incredible work in a variety of sectors. And the sector that our partnership works in is restoring and protecting fish habitat. And our partnership, we're one of 20 that works across the nation to bring together a whole host of partners. Because fish, you know what? They do not know which state they're in. They don't know
That's
which
right.
town they're in, right? Which river they're trying to get to and how many jurisdictions they have to swim through. And so our partnership brings together a whole host of folks from our federal team to our state team, tribes, NGOs, individuals, industry, all with the same common goal to try to do our best to provide good habitat so that fish can come and go, do what they need to do so that they can come back and we can catch them.
You know, it's interesting when you said that, it just made me think, like, fish don't have it easy. You know, these migratory fish that we rely on and that we enjoy and recreate with and all that, and that supply so much to our environment, you know, they don't have it easy, man. It's a tough life out there for a
fish.
It's a
gauntlet. It is. It's a gauntlet out there. And then what we love about the World Fish Migration Day and why it's such a wonderful, really amazing event and a whole host of worldwide partners who join in is because exactly what you're saying. We would try to get the message out that these fish have a hard time moving around. And one of the cool things is, you know, they have their super highways, right? They have to go, like some of our fish, if they're anadromous, they have to go from their natal stream, work their way out, avoid a lot of predators on their way out to the estuary, where right now, actually, if you're anywhere near a coastal area in Alaska right now, all the little salmon fry have emerged from the rivers. Across the state, this is happening. They're left their river. They're going out into the estuary. They're just new, but they're feeding a lot of amazing things. So you'll probably see lots of birds in the coastal area. You'll see all the sea lions around. The whales are pretty happy right now. There's all this abundance of food that have emerged from the rivers. If they have a clear path, if there's no blockages, if they've been able to break free from the river.
Yes.
Right? And then they head to the ocean where they can do all sorts of feeding and grow really fat. Right? And then they work their way back. And again, they have to, you know, travel a rough, chaotic environment, storms and ships and amazing commercial fishermen who are super savvy at catching them. But if they're lucky,
and got
they'll
people
make it
like
back.
People like me, they're trying their best. Just sport fishermen, even, you know. I mean, the whole
absolutely.
I
yes.
mean, I've pulled in fish that have big, you know, seal or sea lion scars on them too. You know, there's all kinds of stuff out there going for these guys. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. It's really fun when you do get some, and you can see those old scars they have.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing how many of them have gone through something.
Absolutely,
it's incredible how many of them are unscathed too, and how beautiful, especially the salmon species we get to pull in. It's incredible to see them when we do catch them and when we're around them. It's amazing. It's something that I don't think any. I actually don't think I was going to say it's something not to be taken for granted. I don't think anyone in Juneau really takes the salmon and those fish for granted, but I do think that maybe sometimes the connection between the what the environment they swim through and the way that we can affect that and the way that we do affect that is something that we don't necessarily think about, is not forefront in our mind all the time.
Exactly. Like if you live in Juneau and say you live in the valley and you work in town, how many streams do you cross on your way to work? A lot, like over 10, 15, I think.
Yeah. Wow.
And the cool part is that, you know, like we need roads, right? Humans need roads. We need to get to work. We need to go to the store. We got to go to the airport. You know, we want to get to the beach. But fish also need clear paths to their spawning grounds and away from their rearing grounds and into their feeding grounds. So they need those stream road crossings to be just perfect so that they don't get hung up. They don't get, you know, locked out of either direction. And that's something that, like, I'm going to give a little shout out to a bunch of our partners. So Crystal, not only does she help our partnership, but she works for a group called the Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition. And we'll let her chat with you about some of the amazing work they're doing. But other partners like Fish and Game and the Alaska Department of Transportation and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and some of our tribal partners like over in Huna who are managing their tribal roads, they are all engaged in helping to do a better job at keeping these stream road crossings open and healthy so fish can break free when they need to.
Well, Crystal, tell us a little bit about that, the Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition and the work that they're doing.
Yeah, so we're a nonprofit. We're based in Juneau, but we work across Southeast Alaska. And most of our work wouldn't happen if it wasn't for the partners that we work with. We do a lot of work with the Forest Service and Fish and Wildlife Service and other national agency type folks. But we also do a lot of work with tribal communities and organizations and smaller people at the community level. And we were actually just recognized by the Forest Service at the national level as a 2021 Rise to the Future Award recipients this year, which is really cool.
Woohoo!
Yeah, woohoo! Go us! And that's really an award we want to share with our partners and just give them the recognition, because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't get any work done ever. So we really want to give a shout out to them. And one of our bigger projects that we've done and kind of completed in terms of fish passage is there's a lot of different structures that you can build to let fish get from one side of the road to the other, right? Most commonly we think of culverts,
yeah,
just
sure.
As being as like a metal like tube basically that goes under the road and they can swim through there. But there's other structures too, like fish ladders and things like that. And there was a fish ladder actually in Picnic Creek, if you've ever been out there,
and that's at Lena Beach. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Out at Lena Beach.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So in the 60s, actually, they installed a fish ladder there, and it really wasn't an effective way to let fish get from the ocean into a Picnic Creek out there. It was a really bad barrier to fish passage. So in 2014, my organization started working with the Forest Service and Fish and Wildlife Service to start removing that fish ladder. And in 2018, we were successful and installed a new bridge out there at Lena Beach, Picnic Creek area. That actually allows fish to pass freely. And then just now in 2021, so 3 years after it was completed, we saw over 2,000 pink salmon actually returned.
All right.
To Picnic Creek.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
And is that something that people could observe if they're out there, if they're out in that area?
Yeah, if you're out in that area, you can see the fish running again. And if you're familiar with that area and you've been there any time before, basically 2018, you would have noticed that there weren't that many fish there. And that was just 2021. We're expecting more and more fish to start returning to that area too.
And that's substantially a pink run?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I, you know, doing a little bit of reading on your Facebook page, you were pointing out that there's, I guess, been 7 priority watersheds that have been improved and maintained in Alaska is due to some USDA work. And can you help me unmuddy what I'm saying there? Or?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I love that. Thank you for reading about that. So we're really excited about the work that the Forest Service has done. You know, they're our largest land manager in Alaska, in Southeast Alaska currently, with the Tongass National Forest. And so they do a lot of stewardship across the region, working with a whole host of partners, because again, they can't do it all. They, you know, and they have been doing an amazing job reaching out to the tribes and engaging with folks like Trout Unlimited and the Nature Conservancy and the Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition. And they have this thing called their watershed condition assessment. So they routinely go out, kind of assess how things are happening on the lawn, in the landscape. Are streams functioning like they need to? And if they're not, what do we need to do to make them more functional? And this report that you're referring to, they did a 10-year look back to see what kind of what have they been focusing on over the last 10 years? And that those are the statistics that you're sharing there. So they have done some improvement in 7 different watersheds. And this makes a big deal. If you're a commercial fisherman, if you are a recreational fisherman, if you're a subsistence or cultural, you know, user for salmon species or other fish species, this work is helping to keep those fish returning year after year after year. I always like to coin what Fish and Game coined back in the 80s. I have to do a shout out to my Fish and Game partners because they're pretty amazing. They coined that actually salmon is truly Alaska's first permanent fund. Right. They return year after year after year, bringing amazing bounty, which, you know, our Tlingit and Haida partners all know way too well. You know, they've been here 10,000 years. It has always been their permanent fund for so long.
But it's interesting because it's gotten to a point where there's so many people who want to rely on that resource that we really have to make sure we're managing it correctly to make sure that it
Absolutely.
Continues in permanence. Yeah. And
So
thanks so much for the work you guys are doing on that. And how can people recognize World Fish Migration Day in their own way? What's a recommended way you would say that folks could recognize that?
Crystal, do you want to give some ideas and then I'll give some at the end?
Yeah, I would say just being aware of how many times you pass over a fish stream on your way to work, not only in Juneau, but anywhere across Southeast. Just take a little drive and just see how many rivers you pass over, how many culverts you see, and just be aware of how many times you pass over that. And that when you do that, it's important to keep those working because otherwise the fish will get trapped. And if we want to keep eating fish and keep using fish as a resource, we need to make sure that they can get to and from their homes and back to the ocean and wherever it is they need to go.
I'm going to do
Thank
that.
You,
I live downtown and I work in the valley. I kind of have the opposite direction commute, and I'm gonna do that because I was counting 7 in my head, but I'm way off.
You know, Southeast Alaska, we're in an amazing geography, and Crystal is an amazing, she does GIS work, so she creates amazing maps and has created this amazing application that folks can go in and look all across the state of Alaska to see where our fish streams are and where our road crossings are. So she can kind of, we can make sure that folks can see that on our website. You can check out our partnership website.
Okay.
And find that.
Give us a quick address for how folks can find the partnership website or what do you recommend they Google?
So www.seakfhp, seekfip.org. Yep, SeekFip. That's our acronym, right? and then Crystal at the Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition, she's SOC. So
okay.
That's her acronym. Right,
Sauk.
Right, Crystal?
SOC. Like a Bostonian. Yeah. SOC.
Yeah, SOC. Yeah, that's us. Our website is www.alaskawatershedcoalition.org. And that map that Debbie's referring to is actually, and I made an interactive Google map, and we'll share it on the SeekFip and the SOC Facebook page, if anyone's on Facebook out there. I'll share it out on there, and it's actually just a Google map, and you can just open it, and when you're driving to work or going for a walk or whatever, you'll actually be able to see all the different known places of fish passage.
Well, thanks to both of you for all the work you're doing. I want to just thank Debbie Hart, coordinator for the Southeast Alaska Fish Habitat Partnership, SeekFip, and Crystal Briette, the Graphics Information Systems Specialist with Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition. Thanks to both of you for the work you're doing, and happy World Fish Migration Day to you.
Thank you, Andy, and thank you for helping us tell these amazing stories, because what you're doing, you help us share the good work that's going on across our region, and so I'm super appreciative for you, too.
Okay, thanks, Debbie.